Welcome to part 11 of our study in Romans chapter 8. Greetings to those of you from University Park Baptist Church, my dear church family. I miss all of you. I cannot wait till we are able to gather again in the fellowship hall and enjoy our fellowship meal and sing and lift our voices together and take prayer requests and then begin our study. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we do have this means to at least continuing our study in the scripture. We finally have come to verse 31 and beyond in Romans chapter 8. This is our 11th study. Four of our studies were in verse 30, where we discussed predestined and called and justified and glorified. And we have finally come to verse 31, where that statement, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's start our study. May the Lord bless you as we begin, and may He work in all of our hearts. May I have His guidance, and may you have His guidance both as we seek His understanding together. Verses 31 through 35. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Well, if God is for everyone, think with me. If God is for everyone, this verse loses its meaning. Jesus Christ is the reason that God is for us. Is God for everyone? Ask yourself, is God against anyone? And ask this question, or some of you may be asking, Pastor, isn't God's love unconditional? We hear a lot. I've heard many people say that God's love is unconditional. Doesn't unconditional mean that no one has to change anything at all about themselves? That everyone is accepted regardless of how they are? So if God's love is unconditional, He's against no one. He judges no one. He condemns no one. And He will punish no one. So if you are one who has thought or said that God's love is unconditional, I just want to ask us to get, have we really thought this all the way through? If there are no conditions on God's love, none at all, then why are some people condemned and other people rewarded? Why are some people sent to the lake of fire and others granted to live in heaven? I just want you to think about it. If there are no conditions, why is there a different end for some? The truth is that God is for us because we are now in Jesus Christ. We were predestined to be under Christ's authority, reconciled unto God through Him. And God called us to this through the preaching of the gospel. And we were justified by faith through believing the word of truth. And we, those of us who are in Christ, are those that God will glorify with Christ when He returns. We are those who have been reconciled to God in Christ. We have become His children in Christ. So God is for those of us who are in Christ. We cannot take away from the glory of Christ being the reason that God our Father is for us. Because now through Christ, God is our Father. And He looks out for His children. We have a good Heavenly Father. And if God is our Father, looking out for us, His children, who can be against us? Because no one. There is no one greater than God. And then Paul continues on in the verse. He who did not spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all. And handed Him over is a reference to the crucifixion and the arrest of Jesus Christ. Because like Jesus told Pilate, you would have no authority unless it were given to you from above. The reason that our Lord laid down His life was for love of His Father and love of the brethren, that He might bring many sons to glory. God the Father handed Him over for us at the cross. And God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's important that we never forget, we never overlook that God's love is through Jesus Christ. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. But apart from Christ, men are under wrath. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy can only be experienced in Jesus Christ. We should not offer hope, mercy, and grace to men apart from calling them to live in Christ, trusting in Christ, submitting to Christ. In our Lord's conversation with Nicodemus, who came to Him by night, John records the conversation. And this is one of the most famous passages, or at least most well-known passages in the Bible, especially John 3:16. But let's look at the passage as a whole, 14 through 16. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that the ones believing in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for in this way God loved the world. For in this way, most of us are more familiar with the saying, for God so loved the world. The actual Greek word means for in the same way. So for in this way is referring to in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. In that way, God loved the world. The same way He loved Israel in the desert. You might remember the story. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. The people who were bitten by serpents could receive mercy by looking upon the serpent on the pole. The Lord told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on the pole so that all who would look to the serpent would live. So, looking in faith would forgive the sin of their grumbling. That's why the Lord sent the serpents among the people, because of their grumbling. But looking upon the serpent on the pole in faith would forgive their sin and heal them of their snake bite. Sin is the poison of Satan's corrupt nature that all of us are born with. And it kills everyone. The wages of sin is death. Paul said in Romans 5, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And in this way, death passed unto all men because all sinned. The only antidote for the law of sin in our members that makes us slaves and causes us to do horrible, corrupt things. The only antidote is found in Jesus Christ. Through faith, we receive the Spirit of life in Christ. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is like God's new programming. He reformats our internal hard drive. He cancels the power of the law of sin and installs His own nature through the Holy Spirit. And this sets us free from the law of sin and death. This is the way God loved the world. In the same way that God provided mercy through Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, God has loved the world in this same way. And anyone who will not come to Christ will not be shown mercy. Instead, he cannot receive God's love either. He will receive God's wrath. In John chapter 3, verses 35 to 36, these are the words of Jesus. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. The one not believing in the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides upon him now. I think the King James says presently. The only reason, and this is what I want us to grasp, the only reason God is for us is that we are those in Christ through faith. We have loved ones. We want them to believe that God loves them. We want them to know that God cares about them. But we cannot separate God's love and concern from the channel, the means. The only way that they will be able to experience God's love and care is through Jesus Christ. Because Paul is writing to believers here when he says God is for us. And if those who are not in Christ want God to be for them, they must repent of their ways and turn to Christ. Because we are in Christ, that is why God is for us. There is no hope outside of Christ. There is no grace outside of Christ. No mercy outside of Christ. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. God predestined this. We studied this several weeks back. God predestined that all of His grace would dwell in Jesus Christ. All of God's goodness, all of God's fullness, all of God's purposes, they were all to be accomplished in and through Jesus Christ. And God calls all men to grace in His Son. Jesus Christ gave His life as a ransom for many. He lays down His life for the life of the world. And God justifies all men by grace through faith in His Son. In Christ, and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in Christ all God's promises are yes and amen. This is our power, our foundation for preaching the gospel, for calling men to repent of living outside of Christ, apart from Christ, and come to the love of God in Christ, that they can receive mercy in Christ, that they can receive forgiveness in Christ. It is wrong and deadly to make men believe that they can experience the love and the mercy of God outside of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on, for the sake of believers, for our edification and hope and comfort in this difficulty that we'll have while we continue to live in this world, Paul goes on, if God handed his own son over for us, how shall he not be gracious to us in all things? Do you get what Paul's saying? God gave us the greatest gift first. God met the greatest need first. God gave what cost him the most first. How now? If God loved us even while we were sinners and gave his son for us, now that we've received the grace of forgiveness for sins and freedom from sin, why would he stop giving us grace now? We're his children. None of us should struggle with the love of God who are in Christ, because God has already given us his best, his most valuable treasure, his son. Will he not also graciously give us all things? Of course he will. Now, if we have faith that God has forgiven us for our sins, how can we doubt that he loves us enough to provide for all of our needs? If God is for us, nothing, no one can separate us from his love for us in Christ Jesus. And I'm just asking us to think and take this to heart, that God is for us because we have humbled ourselves and believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. God the Father has made him the Lord and the Messiah, and Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And God chose to love the world through his son, Jesus Christ. And if the world wants to experience the love of God, if the world wants to have a relationship with God, if they want God's favor and blessing, they must recognize that God has chosen that his love, his mercy, his grace, his purposes are all accomplished and given through Jesus Christ. So the good news is because we are in Christ. The good news for us is that God is for us. The good news that we preach to those who are not in Christ now is that God has sent his love through his son, and he's calling you to receive his son. If you want his love, receive his son. Live in the son. Believe in the son. Obey the son. And you can say then that God is for you. Because God is determined that he is for all those in Christ. Because those who are not in Christ will not be with God the Father and God the Son in eternity. They will live eternally separated from God because they chose not to receive the love that God had for them in Christ. We cannot forget this, because if we ever offer hope and grace outside of living in Christ, we have corrupted the gospel. We have taken away what God predestined from the very beginning. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me." Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Those of you who are in Christ, live in Christ. Stay in Christ. Keep yourselves in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and rejoice that God is for you.